He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still? The 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here at 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Wednesday, January 28th here on 1430 ESPN. Big thank you to listening, however you're listening. Thank you for stopping by and listening to our show. A brief but good one coming up for you here today as we take you all the way to 3:45 and get you set for Laker basketball tonight in Cleveland as the Lakers battle the Cavaliers. 3:45 pregame, 4 p.m. tip-off right here on 1430. Of course, later tonight over on 790, I would imagine as soon as the Laker game wraps up or gets close to it, or, you know, hopefully they put it away, you can switch over to 790 and listen to the FPU Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Metters on that one as well. So another edition of that coming up tonight, on 790 at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. tonight. All right. Big show today. Like I said, just talking a couple topics. And like I said, we're heading into Laker basketball. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays on 1430 ESPN. My show from 3 to 6 p.m. on the weekdays on ESPN Fresno. And Paul Miller Show, the Central Valley Sports Report, from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays, live from First Street Sports on 1430 ESPN. All of that you can find on demand, live, and in our programming on our 1430ESPNFresno.com website and also the ESPN Fresno app. If you go there as well, free to download for all those with smartphones. Getting in on the show today, of course, the Lee's Air Hotline is how you reach us. 559-320-1430, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of our show. Lee's Air Weather Check sitting at 62 degrees and mostly cloudy today. Good to be here. Like I said, a little dense fog conditions maybe this morning, but or later tonight. We got a little dense fog advisory, so hopefully people are okay with that tonight. We're just going to be peeking around the 60s for the rest of the week into the weekend here as we get over, as they say, hump day on this Wednesday. Jorge is here with me, as he is, on this 45-minute edition of our show. Jorge, how are we doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Hey, this is Phil. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Somebody messed with my dials here, so I got to fix him up a little bit, but I'm good.
Might have been me. We were testing some stuff in there earlier today, so I apologize.
Nah, it's all good. It happens.
We were doing some equipment check and testing some stuff in terms of what we're going to be doing next week. Super Bowl Radio Row, man, it's right around the corner. We're going to have shows all week, Monday through Friday, from San Francisco. We're hyped for it. We're getting closer and closer to those. To those shows, and I'm booking more and more guests, Jorge. It's exciting time. Super Bowl Radio Row week for us there.
I heard you're going to have some good personalities out there.
Yeah, some personalities. So I think we may, I'm going to see if I can get our graphics guy. We can get a whole lineup put together, and then we can kind of just put that on our Instagram and have you just see who's all going to be on there for the Super Bowl Radio Row. Should be a lot of fun as people will pin that, I'm sure, to our social medias. Maybe we'll get it out this Friday. I'll put together an official schedule. And plus, it could just add. We could just be adding guests on top of the guests that we already have. So trust me, it's going to be fascinating, fascinating conversation throughout up in San Francisco. little rewind from last night's action, of course. And last night we got into it with high school hoops. Just wanted a little recap that game last night for us. We were at Bullard as San Joaquin Memorial and Bullard High played last night in a high school hoops basketball game. Really fun game last night. Bullard really felt like they jumped out to that nice lead and had a good they punched first, and they punched well into that first half. But Memorial with a nice couple of threes at the end of the first half. And actually, ironically enough, they were only up they were up one by the halftime of that game last night, even despite trailing for pretty much the entirety of that first half. And then able to kind of pull away later into that game in the second half, the power of Parker Spees, the ability of Ty Shalk, Sajan Sidhu, also just an easy 17. I didn't even feel like he had that much, but looking at the stats from last night, that's what we're looking at there. And San Joaquin Memorial seems to be well in control of the CMAC now as they get a victory, and they're going through the second round of teams in that CMAC, and it looks like they're on their way to that and potentially a team that could get into that top seeding. Of course, nobody wants to play St. Joe's. They're kind of slated in that fourth spot, but maybe last night with Clovis upsetting Buchanan, maybe there's a conversation of who gets ranked up there. So we'll see. We'll see how it all kind of transpires. Could be an interesting top division in high school hoops. Of course, we are now less than a month away, Jorge, from Selland Arena as we are careening towards that. I can't even think about that right now. I can't even think that far ahead. But Selland Arena is less than a month away, despite all the things we're doing.
I go to see there's going to be some really good matchups, though.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. And we're going to have, I think we're going to shoot for having four games during the weekend. Two on the Friday, two on the Saturday. That's what we did last year. And I'd imagine we may have some games that are going to be worthwhile broadcasting for you folks here in the Central Valley. So great game last night. Fantastic. Shout out to Paul. Always great on the analysis. And yeah, we look forward to our next broadcast, which will be in 2 weeks. No broadcast next week. No high school hoops next week. We're in Super Bowl Radio Row, so we're going to be going to that. But we will have a game next Tuesday, and we are going to be eyeing the Clovis West at Clovis North game to wrap up track play. And that should be a good one between the Broncos and the Eagles. So that's what you got for the schedule there. Excuse me. And as we continue our conversation about sports and everything going on, of course, the big sports story, and I heard Tony touch on it. I'm better now. I'm better today, Jorge, in terms of my reaction to the Bill Belichick Hall of Fame fallacy that happened yesterday. But as we sit a day removed, some more details coming out, some people maybe coming up with some excuses why. Is there a theory here, Jorge, that Bill Belichick was so great that everyone assumed others would vote for him, and we turned it into a situation where the assumption turned everyone into, you know what happens when you assume, right, Jorge?
Yeah.
I can say this on air, right?
Nah.
No?
I get what you're saying, though.
Makes an ASS out of you and me, right?
Yeah.
And it made an ASS out of all the 50 members in that committee last night.
I don't think that was it. I don't think that.
They're claiming that's what happened. Oh. That's a working theory to that.
Look, people knew that they weren't going to vote for him.
Yeah.
It's not right, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not correct or politically correct, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you don't like the guy and you don't want to vote for him, that's your vote.
And that's why you shouldn't have your vote. If you vote that way for a Hall of Fame, you shouldn't have your vote. Right, Jorge?
I mean,
you should not have your vote.
Well, it's not like he's not going to get in, and he's going to get in next year.
You sure about that? Because next year. So here's an interesting tweet I saw today. Nate Jackson, who Adam Schefter retweeted this tweet. This is what I saw. He's a beat reporter for the Broncos. He said, another crappy thing about the Bill Belichick Hall of Fame snub is and correct me if I'm wrong, which sounds like it's true, they can only put in one coaching candidate per year. So now Mike Shanahan, who's a great coach of the Broncos, who've been waiting for a Hall of Fame case for a while, looks like he'll have to probably wait another year because Bill Belichick's probably going to get in next year. And then we're talking some other potential coaches on the men that are still waiting to get a gold jacket. Like, it just skips people in line. When we just don't elect a coach, like, I get it if we elected a coach this year, but, like, nobody got elected. And so now Bill Belichick just takes up that spot next year, right? And then it's, like, guys like Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, Kyle's dad, that, like, has to wait like this. And so it's just wait, all.
No coach was elected?
No coach has been elected. No, that's what happened.
Was
no coach got elected in the Hall of Fame.
That's a Hall of Fame problem, though. It shouldn't be like that.
Well, that's because nobody voted enough times for the coach. They voted for the executive. They voted for the old timer.
Yeah, there's.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I mean, Hall of Fame is weird. It's got its own rules. And.
Well, they try to be independently away from this process, right? They just are the curators of the museum, right? So they're, right. I heard clarification from Rich Eisen that basically said, don't get mad at the Hall of Fame. People get mad at the writers that created this kind of weird system of how they vote people in. Like, the Hall of Fame has to answer to it, unfortunately, but it's not like they get to decide who gets in. However, if you want to go conspiracy theory hat, Jorge, if you want to go real conspiracy theory,
let's do it.
What if the report's wrong? And what if he gets his name called on Thursday?
Could be.
No, I don't think it's wrong. I don't. I don't think there's a make right situation. I think Bill Belichick knew. He sounded like he got contacted in that report. And
they tell him beforehand so that, you know, he knows.
He knows if he needs to be in San Francisco next Thursday, right?
Quite frankly, I think, you know, it all comes out to Bill Belichick and the person who he is. He wronged other people the wrong way.
But should it matter?
I mean, if you don't play well with others.
That seems petty.
That's how it is. That's how
it is. So is pettiness.
It's not a company giving you an award. It's not an institution.
It is a company. It's the NFL. The NFL's a company.
Or it's voted by your peers.
Yeah. Not your peers. He's not peers with the media. No.
Okay. It's voted by the media.
Yeah. And guys respectful.
He's who he is.
You're telling me every other coach interaction was just a saint to all the other media, and they felt good about it.
I'm not saying that, but they weren't Bill Belichick.
Yeah. What
I'm saying is he must have done something for them to be all in accordance to have exactly 10 votes, not
11.
Boardman.
It'd be 11.
Or 11.
Yeah, 11 was the threshold.
11 votes, not Boardman.
So what is the thing he did? What is the thing?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. No.
But there's something there. I mean, if any other coach with his resume, I probably most likely
you're just kind of generalizing it though, Jorge. You're not really going into specific. Like, there has to be specific to it. You can't just generalize it of he's a bad guy. We all know he's a bleep hole.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy. If he's a bleep hole, then that's because he wants to be that way. And you reap what you sow. If you
not every coach is a cuddly, friendly human being.
I know that.
You know what I mean? Like,
I know that.
And he took it seriously more than anybody. But the guy did so much for the game. When you think about, like, what happened with the NFL 100, the guy stepped in a panel and ranked all the 100 best players ever, and was fascinating when people were talking and listening to his knowledge about these guys from the 40s, the 50s, to the 70s.
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be there.
I know you're not, but I'm saying the reason. So. I think we're missing the point here. We all know he should be in, but the point I'm trying to make is the process of why this group of people has the power to make that happen. Right? Like why did we end up at this process? Right?
Because it was the
why most, do they get the power of that?
Most fair way to do it.
Apparently it's not.
Well, then,
because logic did not win in this situation.
I mean, this happens all the time in baseball.
I know. We hate it. And baseball. Now it's flooded into the ego of football, right? People in football. And And the amount of outcry. By the way, I will say this. This is probably the best outcome for Bill Belichick. Look at all these people on the internet defending the guy. We have never had a unilateral approval of Bill Belichick more than this moment right now. Right?
Yeah.
Nobody's speaking an ill word about Bill Belichick today. Except for those 11 dudes, 11 schmucks who voted against him. I'm looking at you, Bill Polian. I'm looking at you. You hear his quote, Jorge, his quote. I'm like 95% sure I voted. I can't remember. I think I
would have said the same thing if I didn't vote for him.
You see, I think, what a schmuck. What a loser. He's such a loser. Well, he won one Super Bowl his entire career. What a loser. Well, acting like
that's
that.
That's what you get when you give him the ball.
When someone kicks your butt for 30 years and your only response is, oh, my God, he taped the practice. Like Jimmy Johnson came out and everybody said, oh, we tape practices all the time. Bill Cowher said it too. We taped all these things all the time. And then they just caught Bill and said, oh, my God, he's winning a lot. And then we're going to point it out. By the way, the report you kept citing to about the Rams thing, the reporter redacted that report. They retracted it. That report is nada. So whatever you think about the Rams thing, it got retracted by the Boston Globe. So I want to correct the record to say the only issue is Spygate. All right?
Okay.
Just for the record.
That's the only issue.
Yeah?
Okay.
One game against the damn Jets. And you know, Robert Kraft had that famous quote in whatever that documentary. He asked Bill Belichick, like, how much, give me a percentage of an advantage it gave us in terms of winning if we taped those guys like we did and got caught about it. And Bill kind of said to him, 1 or 2%. 1 or 2%. And Robert Kraft was like, you're such a schmuck for doing it then. Like, it wasn't worth the squeeze. The juice was not worth the squeeze, you know?
I just think if you reap what you sow, man. I
mean, I'll tell you what, though. If they do this to Brady, do you think they do this to Brady?
Nah.
Or Brady, we're changing the vote process?
Brady's a nicer guy.
He deflated balls, Jorge. You cannot tell me there are no people over there thinking that.
Those balls were deflated.
Yeah?
Cheater.
Yeah?
Right away.
Uh-huh. Because that was the difference.
Straight to jail.
That was 45-7 difference against that stupid Colts team. Another Bill Polian vengeance tour when Andrew Luck looked like you-know-what, dog doo-doo in the snow in New England. That's what mattered. When Nate Solder was catching a pass. Like, what are we doing? The Flakegate was so crazy. That was such a stupid time. Such a stupid time. We're living in such a stupid time. Let me tell you right now with football. Hall of Famer Bill Belichick. I'll say it all the time. I'll say it forever. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer in my mind. All right. Anyways, let's take a break. I'm done with it.
You keep saying it. It doesn't make it true.
I don't care. I really don't care. All right. Hall of Famer Barry Bonds. I'll say it. I'll say all. I'm correcting the record right here. I'm just going to keep saying it. And you can try
until
to correct
it becomes
me.
True.
Yeah. Why not? Hall of Famer Roger Clemens. All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we get you set for Laker basketball next on 1430 ESPN. Keep my hands on myself. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, Valley's local sports leader. We are into our last segment here. Yeah, before we send it off to Cleveland for Lakers and Cavaliers coming up at 3:45. Let's give out the schedule because I haven't given out this year or this week yet. Got a fresh copy here in the studio. You hear it? Can we hear it?
Yeah.
Ah, there we go. All right. Just want to make sure people knew it was fresh. Yeah, like I said, Lakers Cavs coming up in a little bit. Tonight over on 790 FPU Sunburn Sports Show. Paul Metters hosting, and I believe it's baseball tonight, Jorge. We're talking to the baseball team, Coach Hirschhorn and the crew.
Okay.
So That's at least from the intel I gained. I think Paul mentioned that yesterday on the broadcast. Thursday, tomorrow, Sports Time Bulldog Hour, Tony D, 2 to 3. We're going to have my show, 3 to 6, full 3 hours of fashion furniture, only full show of the week. Sharks and Oilers, 5:30, pregame on 790, 6 p.m. puck drop from north of the border. Friday, we'll have Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D, 2 to 3, from 3 to 3:45, my show, wrapping up the weekend there. 3:45 is the pregame for the Lakers and Wizards from Washington, D.C. The Lakers will tip off at 5 p.m., or 4 p.m., excuse me. Saturday, we'll have a Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters, 10 a.m. to noon, live from First String Sports. Later that afternoon on 14:30, hey, college basketball. You got some college basketball on the schedule here, Jorge?
Yep.
Kentucky at Arkansas. Little SEC basketball, little SEC hoops action. We like it. Kentucky at Arkansas, 3:15 tip-off on Saturday. Or at least coverage will begin at 3:15.
Coverage tip-off is
3:30. All right. Coverage begins 3:15 on 14:30. Over on 790, Sharks in Flames. That's a matinee game. 12:30 pregame with a 1 p.m. puck drop from Calgary. Sunday, just one game. Lakers-Knicks. That's a big one. 3:45 pregame, 4 p.m. tip-off there from New York. And then on Monday, we'll have Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D, 2 to 3. We'll have my show for just an hour. Only an hour on Monday, live from Radio Row, Super Bowl Sunday, or Super Bowl week from San Francisco. Yours truly will be heading to Super Bowl opening night. And, Jorge, this has been kind of a new thing they've been doing. They used to have media day at Super Bowl week. You remember those days where they just put the players all sitting around in the stadiums and everyone just kind of walked around and talked to them?
Yeah, it was like they would put them on a little post thing. And
little podium, right?
Yeah, and then you would go and ask a bunch of questions.
It's like a scrum in there, and you know, you're trying to ask the dumbest questions.
Before that, it was like it was more hectic.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I will bet, and I've heard this, they literally give anyone a credential to that thing.
Yeah, I remember it. I remember very vividly that one time a reporter from a Mexican TV station got dressed up as in a wedding dress and went to ask Tom Brady to marry her.
Marry him?
Oh, yeah, him. Marry him.
There's a lot of shock value things going on happening at the opening night situation or whatever. So, I don't know. It's going to be strange. But then they also have this like event where they have the teams like on a stage somewhere. I don't know. It's at the San Jose Convention Center, which I've been there before. I was actually talking to my dad about it earlier. I've actually been there before for another event. I want to say 4 years old, Jorge, when the first
4 years old.
NHL All-Star game was held in San Jose back in the 90s. And there's pictures of me interacting with all the exhibits and
okay.
Hanging out there at the convention center.
It's got to be peak Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks time. Yeah, they definitely were. Mighty Ducks were certainly a situation. Apparently, we went to a game in Anaheim when I was a child, like a very young child, and I got very scared of the duck mask. Did not like the Anaheim duck mask, apparently. But yeah, we'll be at the San Jose Convention Center that Monday, so that's why we're going to only do an hour. Just kind of get you, it's a little appetizer, amuse-bouche kind of situation. You know what I'm talking about? A little amuse-bouche.
Yeah.
Of some things. We got a lot of guests lined up for next week as well. Tuesday, we're going to have Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D, 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to something on next Tuesday. Picking up the Pro Bowl on this?
Pro Bowl 4:30. So
4:30?
I didn't put it there, but I got the message today. So what time and everything. 4:30. 4:30 our time.
So we would wrap up at around 4:30 show time.
Yeah.
Okay, so hour and a half show on Tuesday. And then you have the Lakers and Nets at 4:15.
790.
On 790 over there. All right. And then I know for a fact the next 3 days after that, we will have 3 hours of Behind the Bench for the folks Wednesday through Friday. And my goodness, we are – the emails just keep coming as far as booking guests. They just keep showing up. So we will get you some good stuff for you there in terms of that. All right. So what do we got tonight? Lakers and Cavs. And there's been some conversation lately around the Lakers in terms of LeBron. And we had a little conversation about LeBron yesterday. But this one's going to be geared around the idea of, is this his last game in Cleveland ever? Right? Because there's certainly feeling that this could be his last game of his, you know, last season of his career, right? Maybe he lasts one more year, but I don't know. What would you bet on here, Jorge? Would this be, if I said over under or yes or no, this is LeBron James' last game ever in Cleveland, would you bet on that, or would you feel like he's lasting another year in the NBA?
I feel like he wants, like he's going to be there another year. I don't think he's going to, I feel like he's one of those guys that wants to tell everybody, hey, look, I'm leaving. And then everybody's going to give him something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who was it? Who recently did it that way, too. Retired, and then every city he went to, he got some sort of, like, press.
Derek Jeter.
Jeter? Yeah.
Mariano Rivera got a farewell tour.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember the Texans gave him some boots.
Yeah, it was like a little. I remember, I think it was Minnesota. They gave him a chair made of all the broken bats he made with the cutter he threw. Because you break your bat a lot on Mariano Rivera's cutter, right? In terms of that.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's cool. I think it was a rocking chair.
I think for LeBron, they could do that. That would be cool. I mean,
LeBron doesn't want it, though, right? Because LeBron doesn't want the farewell tour now, although he would want the farewell tour for sure. I mean, maybe we're doing it because they got the patch, right? You know the patch we're talking about?
Yeah.
Because he's patch, 23 patch.
23.
Yeah. I heard something funny, though. If he tries to make a 24 patch, 24 is a hard number to make you celebrate for the Lakers, right? Because I think 24 is pretty coveted in a different name.
That 24 is.
So if you're making a patch for 23, do you make a patch for 24, or is that going to be too dicey for you Laker fans out there?
Maybe he'll be one of those players that just comes back one more season, just at the beginning, signs off, you know, his contract, and then that's it.
Right. I'm going to do a surprise trivia section here for you, Jorge.
All right, shoot it.
You ready?
Why not?
Maybe I'll play a little music. We haven't played the music in a while.
Yeah.
All right. LeBron has the fifth most. Here we go. LeBron has the fifth most points scored ever in one arena in the NBA history. And that's in Cleveland with 13,931 points. Okay. Can you give me the four guys who are above him who scored the most points in one building in their career?
Most points. Is it Michael?
No.
In Chicago, no?
No, they moved in Chicago during his tenure.
Oh, that's true. It's gotta be Kobe. Right?
Kobe's number one with 18,873 in crypto.com arena.
I'm thinking of old players who lasted a long time. Is it KD?
Kevin Durant, no. Kevin Durant was around forever. Around. Yeah, you got to find single franchise guys.
Is it Dwayne Wade?
No, not Dwayne Wade, unfortunately.
Oh, it's interesting. Oh, is it Curry?
No, not Steph Curry, because he had Oracle and Chase.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that one.
I'll tell you what, all three are in the West.
All three are in the West.
The other three are in the West.
Is there another Laker?
There is another Laker.
Is it... Is it Magic?
Not Magic. Think older.
Kareem.
At the Forum. He had 14,957. You need number two and number three. Think Texas.
The Mavs?
Think about it.
The Mavs or San Antonio? Robinson?
No.
Tim Duncan.
No, go to Mavs. You were right on it. Who's a longtime Mav? Come on.
The German guy.
Dirk Nowitzki. He's number two. Can you get number one? Not the Spurs, not the Mavs, the other Texas team.
Rockets. I said, this is a long time Rocket.
90s.
Ooh.
Finals.
Ooh. Hakeem?
Hakeem.
Olajuwon.
Just in time. As the game show music wraps up.
Wow.
There you go.
Interesting names.
Kobe, Dirk, Hakeem, Kareem, and LeBron have the most points scored in one building in NBA history. That's your top five there. LeBron might be adding maybe like 10 or 15 more to that total tonight.
Yeah.
Or does it become one of those LeBron-centric games where he tries to score a little bit more than he's supposed to, and it kind of goes to the detriment of what the Lakers are going to try to do, especially when you know the primary scorer should be Luka and always Luka.
When he starts telling people to give him the ball.
Yeah. By the way, Luka versus Donovan Mitchell tonight. Both players coming off 45-plus point efforts last time they were on the court. Both played on Monday. Donovan Mitchell had 45 against the Magic. Luka had 46, 12. And 12 assists against the Bulls. Who's breaking out? Donovan Mitchell or Luka? I think you got to go Luka, right?
Yeah, I think Luka is.
Luka, by the way, has the most points scored per game against the Cavaliers with a minimum of 10 games in his career. 30.7 points. Only him and Michael Jordan have averaged 30-plus points against the Cavaliers in their career.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I go Luka in a big one in terms of that for sure. And it's going to be interesting to see where this defense can kind of keep things at bay as far as that's concerned. Now, by the way, Austin Reeves, there's a chance he can be back tonight. I haven't seen any report that he could be back tonight. Let me see. Is he in? Remains out. Austin Reeves remains out tonight. So no Austin Reeves again, but they're going to come back with him pretty soon, I would bet you. And I think that's going to change the tenor of it. Here's the problem. Lakers got to defend, and the Lakers got to hit threes. And it's just going to be a matter of, are the Cavs going to stay hot, or are the Cavs going to be a team that's going to determine their own outcome as opposed to what the Lakers are going to do? Because the Lakers are going to score their points. And I think one like 118 tonight, 122 feels like the number. It's just a matter of, can you get your off night from the Cavs, and can the Lakers take advantage of that?
Yeah, it seems like the Lakers, they're in a little bit of a roll there, I would say. So I think that might help them out.
It's been a nice road trip for them.
Yeah.
The Lakers. You know, the beating the Bulls, beating the Mavs, beating the Nuggets. They did lose to the Clippers, but we're now 3-1 on the road trip. You like 5 wins on this road trip.
You know, I didn't realize, but apparently they had this road trip like for a few years now.
Yeah, it's always like every team gets like an 8-game road trip.
And they do it because of the Grammys.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that, but
I know. Yeah. I think you brought this up on Monday.
Yeah.
About it.
But I didn't think, I thought it was just this one time that it was always happening, but it's happened like before, and I didn't realize that.
Yeah. The East Coast tour. Actually, I think 6 wins feels like the ones you need. You got to have. If you can beat Cleveland tonight, you got to beat Minnesota. You got to beat Washington, and you got to beat Brooklyn, mm-hmm. right? And then the next game you can kind of toss up. And if you get that, that's cake. But 6 feels like the number you need to have if you're the Lakers. 6-2 road trip would be incredible.
Definitely put them in a good position.
Absolutely would.
Yeah, yeah, that would definitely help out their chances of getting to a higher seed.
Well, they're at where are we at NBA standings wise, in terms of the Lakers right now in their grand scheme of things? Lakers got to be top 4, right? No, top 5. They're just a half game back of the Rockets right now. They're game up on the Suns, game up on the Timberwolves, and then there's kind of a gulf as the Warriors sit at that 8 spot. Lakers don't want to be in that play-in. I don't think so. It's really, really laying out to be maybe Lakers Rockets as kind of your opening round. Don't want to face the Nuggets again. Goodness. That Nuggets team kicks their you know what.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't want to face the Wolves either. Those tower teams, those teams with those big guys, you know, it's just not fun. And the Rockets, you know, as good as the Rockets can be, and the Rockets certainly have talent, it's a matter of maybe you can get with them and they can be a team that's a little more beaten down and beat up. But then that means you're in that side of the bracket where you beat the Rockets, then you're on the Thunder side for round two. Yikes. Yikes. Right?
Anyways. That would definitely not be good for them. No. Well, I mean, you got to beat them anyway, so might as well. But
yeah. By the way, Lakers, 1, 2, 3. I'm doing the math here. 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. 7 teams currently without double-digit losses on the road. Lakers, better road team right now. And I'm sure they'll look to stay out of that with 9 losses. All right. Let's wrap on our show. Jorge, good job by you for the 40-plus minutes of content.
Awesome show.
Awesome show. Memorable one. I'll never forget it. We'll be back tomorrow. 3 hours. We'll have our Student Athlete of the Week interview. Charlotte Morgan's going to join me tomorrow. Softball. Fresno State softball. So be sure to tune in over tomorrow, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We'll be there over at Fashion Furniture. Stop by. We got pizza. Laker basketball next on 1430.